Joining us again is Peter Arwood, President of the Space Association of Australia, and we're going to talk about Buzz Aldrin. Peter, have you ever met Buzz?
I have not met Buzz. I believe you have, though.
Oh, yes.
When you were over there in 2010.
I met him twice. Twice. Actually.
Managed to
stick a microphone in his face and extract a few words from him.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's getting on in a bit, but he's actually coming to Australia in November. So he's got a speaking event in Melbourne and in Sydney. Sydney event is on the 27th of November, the Friday the 27th, and in Melbourne it's Sunday night the 29th. So I'm going to be along, and I think a few of our members will be, and I heard the ticket sales are going very strongly, so if you're interested, I'd suggest you have a search around and go to Ticketmaster. I think there's tickets available there, but I think they're getting down the track now, so it should be a great night. Apparently it's going to be not just a simple stand up and here's a few pictures of me on the moon. It's being put together by an organization that has done some theatrical type work, and Ray Martin is hosting the event, and I think they're trying to put together a sort of a more of a integrated story where it goes from Buzz from his early years flying in the Air Force and Korea, and then going up and joining the astronaut corps. His Gemini mission, where he did America's most successful EVA to that time, where they resolved a lot of the issues that they had in previous spacewalks. He was heavily involved in developing techniques and training methods to help to make that more usable and doable, because obviously it's very important to be able to do spacewalks and extra vehicle activity for the Apollo missions to follow later. Then, of course, him being named to the crew of Apollo 11, the mission itself, his experiences. And then his post-Apollo 11 life, where yeah, he's had some ups and downs and problems with different issues and alcohol for being one of them, but he's kept on going, and he's one of the leading protagonists for a concept of getting to Mars, which he's done a book called Mission to Mars, where he sets out a timeline and techniques and technologies and orbital mechanics, something he's very familiar with, given that he did university education on orbital mechanics.
Yes, indeed. He was known as Mr. Rendezvous.
Dr. Rendezvous, thank you.
Dr. Rendezvous, yeah. Yes. Doctor. Right. So, oh, yes, doctor. And for his work on the Gemini program.
That's right, yeah. So he's actually developed a couple, and I only learnt this the other day in the lead-up to learning a bit more about going on to this event. He's got this thing called an Aldrin Cycler, which is where you can put an object into a particular orbit, and not just an orbit around the Earth. This orbit basically is around the solar system, but it cycles between Earth and Mars on a regular basis. And once it's in place, you don't really need to do a whole lot of work to keep it in place as far as rocket firings and energy, etc. It just keeps going backwards and forwards. And the interesting thing about it, as I found out, he's also got two other cyclers, which one of them is called the Collins Cycler, and the other one is, guess what? It's called the Armstrong Cycler. And they go between different orbital objects, because part of his concept is not going directly to Mars, but actually going to one of the moons of Mars and setting up a sort of a monitoring site from there, and then having robotic devices or Mars rovers on the surface, which you control from orbit, and then further on down the track. Because one of the issues with going to Mars is it's got an atmosphere, but a very thin atmosphere, and consequently you can't use heat shields and aerobraking to effectively land a large payload on Mars. And if you wanted to use parachutes, it'd have to be so enormously gigantic that it just would not be practical. So I think some of the way he's getting around that is by staging his trajectory and his mission on the moons of Mars. So it should be really fascinating. So for people that are interested in history, the history of the space flight and the Apollo mission, Apollo 11, it's going to be an interesting night to see it from his perspective. I've seen Neil, as I spoke about before, so it'd be really nice to see and hear from him and what his views and thoughts and feelings about all that was. But then, of course, you know, moving forward, I mean, it's nice to sort of see. I mean, he's 85 years old, so he's not going to be around forever. But to see him, you know, pushing out, trying to push people along on into the future, something that he's not going to see, but he's got some strong views and ideas that he expresses forcefully, and good on him. He's got some science to back it up, so he's maybe not 100% correct, but hey, he's out there.
One of the points of difference between Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin was when Obama announced his space policy, Armstrong came out strongly against that policy, whereas Buzz Aldrin weighed in with it. And it's in that context that I met Buzz Aldrin, and he was advocating Obama's policy at that time. That was in 2010.
Yeah. I think he's changed his concept or his message slightly to that. I mean, a lot of people, there's a lot of debate in the community, space community, about, you know, Moon or Mars, and you know, perhaps on the surface of it, and maybe in reality, Obama's plan was go to Mars, we've been to the Moon. In fact, he said it in as many words. But if you actually look at, I've had done a bit of reading of Buzz's ideas, he basically is not dismissing Moon. He says it's an important part, but his particular idea is that from America's point of view, it shouldn't be an American return to the Moon. They would be part of a group, a consortium they would support, they'd be part of it, but that wouldn't be their sole objective. But the Moon would be an important stepping stone for technologies and things. So I think he's slightly changed his message and his ideas there, so that's okay, I suppose. It's nice to be able to have an idea but tweak it and adjust it and modify it. I mean, it's all part of the political thing as much as anything else. I mean, you know, space is physics, science, thrusts and gravity, but in reality it's all academic unless it's got money behind it to actually do something. So, you know, that's the hardcore reality of the world we live in. You've got to have something that's fundable and have community support and ongoing community support, because these missions are not going to be done in a single electoral cycle in the US or anywhere else. So US is every 4 years, Australia it's every 3 years. So it's got to have, whatever happens, it's got to have, you know, support from all political sides to just keep the funding going. So I think part of maybe Buzz's excitement about Obama's statement back then was that they're going to work on a big booster to be able to do stuff. And then, you know, you can refine where it goes, what it does once you've got that capacity, but get on and build a heavy lift vehicle. So, yeah, I mean, that's where we're at now, I suppose, with this. What was Ariane 5, I think? Not Ariane 5.
Space Launch System.
Space Launch System now, but it was the Ares 5, right, before?
Ares 5.
So there was Ares 1, which was a stick, and then that just was for the manned vehicle, and then the Ares 5 was going to be the unmanned. So, yeah, so it's interesting to see where it's all going to head.
Okay. Now, finally, Peter, this is the Space Show, and it's presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. And I understand you have an announcement for the members of the Space Association regarding Buzz Aldrin's visit.
Yeah, that's correct. The Space Association and the committee of the Space Association have been providing a fair bit of, I guess, support and advice to the organisers of the Buzz Aldrin tour, and as a result, we've been provided with some premium, I think they're called, tickets to the event in Sydney and in Melbourne, and those tickets will be offered as a lottery prize to any member of the Space Association. So if people are members, they go automatically go into the draw. If people have thought maybe I'll join the association, or maybe had been members and not currently now, we'd encourage you to go ahead and join up. If you go to the Space Association webpage, which is space.asn.au, there's a link there to memberships, and in there there's links to how you can join up. There's an online joining system, payment system, so you can do it all tonight in the comfort of your lounge room. And by doing so, you automatically go into the draw for these tickets. So the tickets are about $170 each. Pretty nice prize. And to be honest, there's not a gigantic number of members of the association, so I think you've probably got a pretty good chance of winning them. Probably a lot better than Tesla, I can guarantee that. But, yeah, it should be a great night and a great event. And obviously we're keen to have more people join our group because, you know, we have a lot of fun. We share information. We have our monthly meetings, and they're always lively and exciting, and there's always something to contribute. And for anyone that hasn't been to a meeting, it's a lot of fun, and we end up standing at the car park speaking for about another half an hour afterwards because we've got so much to chat about.
Like tonight.
Tonight, exactly.
Mm. Okay, well, thank you, Peter. Peter Arwood, President of the Space Association of Australia.